Welcome to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Over the next hour, you'll be introduced to business and local leaders impacting our community. Text your comments or questions directly to the studio in real time via ZipWhip landline texting at 540-371-5756 or comment on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubert.
We're going to talk about this morning. Manarc Born the Battle Thrift Store downtown is celebrating its one-year anniversary coming up. And we have Deborah Franks here with Manarc. Sean Phillips with Spencer Devin Brewing is here. And Lynn Sherlock joins us from Falls Church on the phone this morning. She is with Veterans Moving Forward. Good morning to all of you. Thanks for joining the show this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Deborah, I want to start off with you because happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. We're very excited.
Coming up, it's been a year, and before we go any further, a lot of people, whenever you're in, or we talk about your thrift store that you have a real heart for and emphasize veterans. Talk about the name and how the name came about.
MANARC is an acronym for all the military branches. It stands for Marines, Army, Navy, Air Force, Reserve, and Coast Guard. And Born the Battle was a piece from Abraham Lincoln's inaugural speech, the first time veterans were spoken of.
Your thrift store coming up now on a year, has it been a fast-moving year for you?
Way fast. it really, time slips away real, you know, quickly when you're humping furniture all day and working in the store 7 days a week and talking nonstop to customers. Every customer that comes in, have you been in here before? This is what we do. You know, this is their purpose, their mission. So, yeah, it's the 1 year has come up very quickly, and we're really excited.
And veterans are your focus. I mean, that's who you're trying to help in with what you do.
100% is veterans.
And along that line, Lynn Sherlock joins us by phone this morning. She's with the group Veterans Moving Forward. Do you, Deborah? I guess you and Lynn have gotten together and you've done some things with her.
We have actually. My president Bob Danko on the board. He vets any organization that we partner with. We won't partner with any organizations that gives less than 85% to their organization, and I believe Veterans Moving Forward gives a higher percentage than that. And we partner with them because they do great things, and I believe they've been in business 5 years now. And we've issued them one check. They came down to the store a few months ago. I believe it was in April, and they brought their service dogs. And they're just a great organization. And with these veterans that have PTSD, these service dogs are very important to them.
Lynn, talk to us about what Veterans Moving Forward does. And I mean, I know you're involved with service dogs and canine therapy.
Right. As was just mentioned, we just reached our fifth-year anniversary last month, which is really a great milestone for an organization that's truly all-volunteer. And we have volunteer puppy raisers, trainers, as well as volunteers, obviously, to help out on the day-to-day. And we provide canine therapy with our dogs in training as well as some of our graduated dogs and service dogs, one-on-one service dogs for veterans. And they could be veterans or receive their injuries, both mental and physical, while they were on active duty or afterwards. And we service from all of the conflicts. So it doesn't matter when you've served. And we appreciate the fact that we have the ability to be able to do this. The numbers that are required to help our veterans, for those with physical and mental ailments, are huge. And we are unable, even with organizations, and there are several that are like us, to meet the need. So we're happy that we can, you know, at least start chipping away at what that need is. And I got to tell you, just from personal experience, I've been formally with the organization a little over a year on the board. But I've known about the organization for a couple of years before that. And it is amazing what a well-trained service dog can do for a veteran. And we are really kind of focusing on those really tough cases where veterans have traumatic brain injury or post-traumatic stress, and specifically training the dog to their individual needs. And I can talk about more about that if you'd like. But it really is something that we really kind of go for the difficult cases in order to help these veterans get back into society and be more engaging with their families and live a happier life, honestly.
Talk about that, Lynn, a little bit more about how do you do that? How do you determine and how do you train dogs for the individual needs?
Very good. Well, first of all, we've got a great training team. We've got a couple of individuals that have been training dogs with other organizations for years. And then we found them, or they found us, I'm not quite sure. But they came on board and they realized that the typical training really does work well. You know, how do you train somebody who's got a mobility problem? Or maybe they're blind, those kind of things. Those training practices are very well done. But when we meet up with a veteran and we interview lots of them and we want to make sure that, number one, they're ready for a service dog, that they have a support structure as well in order to be able to help them once they do have a service dog. And so, and we talk with their medical people to make sure that they also think that they are ready for a service dog. And once we determine that, yes, this is a veteran that we are able to help, we actually meet with them for a week, 2 weeks. We bring them here. They meet the dogs. We look for where that compatibility is. And then we look for their specific needs. For example, we have one veteran who's up in New York who had a traumatic brain injury due to a fall from a roof. And I don't know the technical term, but he was unable to recognize things. He could see a wallet, but not know that it was a wallet or keys or a cell phone, or even, frankly, people's faces. And so we were able to work with his dog, Katrina, and teach her that whenever Joey needed something, all he had to do was say, get my keys, get my cell phone, and Katrina would bring those to him. Other veterans on the that would have maybe more of a PTSD issue, every veteran has sort of a different trigger. You know, what sign is it that they're getting anxious, or they're having a nightmare, or they're just in an uncomfortable situation? And we determine what that is. You know, could that be wringing of the hands? Could that be fidgeting in their seat? Could it be something else that's even more overt than that? We teach the dog that that's a problem, and the veteran themselves may not recognize it right away, but the dog does. And so the dog engages with them and or kind of nudges them or turns the light on or brings them medicine. We literally teach some dogs that when some people are getting anxious, they need their meds now. So that it doesn't get out of control. And so they'll go get their medicines and bring it to them. So those are just some of the examples of even some of our most recent dogs about how these dogs can be trained to really help out with a very specific problem.
How long does it take to train these dogs?
The dogs, that takes about 18 to 24 months. We typically get the dogs at right about that 8-week point. Our trainers are real experts at being able to look at a litter of puppies and determine whether or not, even at that age, that they are focused and able to listen while all kinds of noise and such is going on around them. And so they'll put them through their paces, and they'll select, you know, a dog. And then they'll start that training to be a good citizen, we call it. And then they'll learn, you know, the skills. But it's 18 to 24 months. At about the 18-month point, we start looking for a veteran to place them with, and then start looking for that advanced training before they're placed. And let me add one more thing. One thing we're really proud of is we stick with the veteran after placement. It isn't, here's your dog, good luck. It is, here's your dog, we have a trainer that we're going to continue to work with you on because their needs change. And the dog is still obviously growing and learning. So we'll stick with them for 6 months as a minimum, and sometimes even longer, and continue to train with them as things improve or a new issue might pop up. So we're real happy that we are able to continue that kind of a one-on-one interaction with our veterans after the dogs are placed.
Deborah Franks, as we've talked over the years, over the past year, when you've come in a number of times, again, this is the kind of services and kind of things that you're looking for to help a lot of these veterans who come in with post-traumatic stress disorders.
Yeah, and hopefully with Manark's continued help, you know, we'll be able to continue to cut those checks to companies such as Veterans Moving Forward, so they're able to have those funds to be able to train those dogs. I'm sure it costs a lot of money to do that.
VetsFWD.org is Lynn Sherlock's Veterans Moving Forward website, VetsFWD.org. Deborah Franks, Sean Phillips, and Lynn Sherlock here this morning on Town Talk. More coming up on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Manarc Born the Battle, the thrift store downtown, is celebrating its one-year anniversary. And we've got with us this morning Deborah Franks, who runs the store. Sean Phillips, who we're going to integrate into this conversation soon. He's with Spencer Devon Brewing downtown. And on the phone with us this morning right now is Lynn Sherlock. She is with Veterans Moving Forward. And she's speaking to us by phone this morning from Falls Church. She deals with service dogs and canine therapy. Manarc, as we mentioned before, is a thrift store that really deals with and the focus is helping veterans, and that's how Veterans Moving Forward comes into all of this. Lynn, you were explaining just kind of how you train the dogs and fit them to the right people. Tell us, I'm sure you've got some fascinating stories of how these dogs have truly helped some of these veterans who need help.
Absolutely. And you know, what's really amazing is how quickly these dogs help our veterans. There's one example of a dog and a veteran that were paired up earlier this year. And with only a few weeks after receiving his dog, veteran came into this, as we were saying, we stick with them for a while, but he came into his meeting with his trainer, plopped down a baggie of medicine and said, "I don't need these anymore." He used to need the medicines to get going in the morning, obviously to keep his anxiety down during the day and to, you know, help him get to sleep at night. And though he's not completely off the meds, he was able to cut those in half. And that's a pretty amazing thing when you think about the dependency, frankly, that a lot of our veterans are on medications. The fact that they can get off of these, just the cost alone, but just the fact of what medicines obviously do to your body, to be able to do that. And, why is that? And it's because the dogs give these individuals confidence that they can deal with pressure situations. One of the things that we do when we stick with them is help them get back into public access. Just because you have your dog doesn't magically make everything better again. You have to be able to get out with your dog, interact with your neighbors, and go to public places and be able to maneuver, you know, down the grocery aisles with your dog, be able to go to a restaurant, understand what your rules, what your rights are with the service dog, and be able to get back and forth to work on public transportation. And believe it or not, there are still lots of issues with that. So we stick with them to make sure they know how to interact and to make sure that they're feeling confident about it. Another veteran had an issue with just being uncomfortable in public places, whether it was with the dog or not, would go into a favorite restaurant and would do what you would normally think was a veteran that might have some combat-related post-traumatic stress, and would go sit against the back wall so he can kind of see what's going on in front of him. And the story that came back from his family, again, just a short time after receiving the dog, they went into his favorite restaurant. They sat down at the first table, or I should say he did, with his back to the door. And the family didn't say anything, but they all were kind of looking at each other going, "Wow, let's see where this kind of goes." And the dog had given this individual so much confidence to be back out into the world that he was able to go in and interact in a place and not be concerned about what was going on around him.
What great stories, and it's fascinating how you're able to train these dogs and how these dogs just become really part of these people's their recovery.
It absolutely is. It helps them integrate back into society with their own families, because obviously there's stress on the family as well when an individual is going through some of this. And I have talked to some of the families, and it brings them back together, and that is so heartwarming when you hear those stories.
How can people get in touch with you? And find out more, and whether it's they may need information from you to become part of the program, or they just want to help out.
That would be great. Yes, definitely. Anyone that is thinking about getting a service dog could definitely contact us directly. Or if they want to volunteer, or if they want a puppy raise, we can always use more puppy raisers. The more puppy raisers we have, the more puppies we can get. But you mentioned our website, and there's also a telephone number down at the bottom that'll go to our executive offices. And they can feel free to just contact us directly, and we'll get back with them right away.
Deborah, as someone who works at a lot of levels with veterans, this sounds like a great program.
It is a great program. And, you know, when we go down to the VFW post and meet with especially some of the homeless vets at the peer support group that they have there every Friday, they tell me that they've spent 5 to 10 years weaning themselves off their medication. And if they were able to have one of these service dogs, it would certainly help them much faster than that.
It's interesting. When Lynn was just talking, I thought of an earlier interview that we did earlier this year talking about post-traumatic stress and some of the things offered around here. And I thought that very thing, that this is this is something locally that probably people could take advantage of.
They absolutely can. But unfortunately, we have so many homeless veterans in this community that they are not able to have that service dog. So there's different levels of things that we have to do as a community to get these veterans off the street so they're able to move forward with things like, you know, having a service dog.
Lynn, is the whole idea of using a service dog in this kind of way to help veterans, is this fairly new or has this been done for quite a while?
No, there have been service dog organizations around for quite a while. What hasn't been around for a while is the recognition formally from the government, from the Veterans Administration, that service dogs help veterans. So that's something we and many organizations like us are continuing to work, because we do think that it's a benefit that ought to be given veterans. And it isn't there yet. They're exploring it. But we do think, and I agree, that there are veterans in all situations that really ought to be able to get access to service dogs, and it's not that easy.
No, and it sounds like talking about it not being easy, and also the time it takes for you to be able to have a service dog trained and to go through all that, a lot of this is time consuming.
It really is, and it's a daily, I won't say chore, because I think there's a pleasure in it. People are puppy raisers because this is what they love. And as difficult as it is to give the dog away at the end of that 18-month to 2-year point, they really know that it's helping an individual. And we actually have our puppy raisers and trainers involved in that, so they get to see the home that the puppy that they've raised is going to. Hmm. And so it really is a heartwarming, again, to be able to see that transition. But we need more like us. There are a number of organizations out there that are raising dogs for veterans, but there aren't enough.
Well, you're really a lifesaver for a lot of these families and the individuals.
It really does make a difference, and that's the part. You know, once you start, interacting with the people that get these service dogs, you know, it's all worth it. It's all worth the hard work. It really is.
You think of over the years and so many of these veterans who come back with problems, just how this can help.
You know, it helps immensely. And again, you know, the numbers are amazing as to how many veterans do need service dogs or other assistance. And there just isn't enough help that's out there. So that part is heartbreaking, the fact that we cannot produce enough dogs to be able to help them. And that's why, you know, there's no competition here. We would love to see a dozen more than that organizations around the country start to spring up, because they need to realize that the need is so great.
Yeah, and unfortunately, like you say, just the numbers, there's no let up in the number of people who are coming back and who are dealing with issues that need a dog.
Absolutely. And you know, you hear occasionally, you don't hear it enough, but you hear occasionally that there are veterans that are committing suicide every single day. And every time I hear that, I ask myself, what if? You know, what if they had a service dog? So it keeps me going, and it makes me want to help this organization grow. And we did hit that 5-year point. We're excited about that, and, you know, we would like to grow in the future. And with the help of people like Manark and others that are supporting us, we believe we can do that and help more veterans.
VetsFWD.org is your website, VetsFWD.org. It is Veterans Moving Forward. And you mentioned a phone number. Lynn, what was that phone number again?
The phone number is 866-375-1209.
Okay. And it is Veterans Moving Forward. You're located in Falls Church, so not too far from here.
Yep, the actual headquarters is in Alexandria, but where the work is done is out west of the Beltway, where I got to tell you right now, most of our training is being done in the home of our raisers and trainers. And we're looking to, because we've had some great support, we're looking at now renting a facility where we can do that training, because as the numbers get bigger, it's kind of full at the houses with all the equipment and the dogs coming over to visit. So we're looking at being able to expand our operation. And it will probably be right around the Dulles area or west of the Beltway.
Okay. Well, you're in a good strategic location, especially with some of the veterans hospitals around. And do you get a hold of people? Just they hear about you and contact you, or are you you referred by people? How do people find out about you?
Yeah, we are definitely referred by people. We partner up with other nonprofits that will get the word out. We also do therapy with our dogs in training, and we visit with things like retirement centers for the military, the USO, and so we interact with veterans as much as possible and then get the leaders of those organizations to refer us should someone need a service dog.
Lynn Sherlock is with Veterans Moving Forward. VetsFWD.org is their website. Great to make contact and talk to you, Lynn, and thank you for what your organization does.
Well, very good, and thank you for allowing me to tell the story.
We will stay in touch. Thank you so much. We're talking this morning about Manarc, Born the Battle. They're a thrift store downtown, a year old. They deal with veterans. Deborah Franks is here. We're going to talk to Sean Phillips when we come back. He is with Spencer Devon Brewing. More coming up on Town Talk this morning on News Talk 1230 WFVA. It's 8:30.
I had the radio on. I'm listening to
Talk Done Right. News Talk 1230 WFVA Fredericksburg, a Centennial Broadcasting Station. You're listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. Got an opinion about today's show? Text the studio now at 540-371-5756. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Again, if you want to text a question or have a comment this morning, 371-5756. It is Deborah Franks here with Manarc, Born the Battle, the thrift store downtown. Sean Phillips with Spencer Devon Brewing has been here and sitting quietly in the corner. Sean, good to have you here again this morning. We last talked to you a couple weeks ago about the Grapes and Grain Tour, and you're back with Manarc this morning.
Indeed, excited to be back. Thank you.
Good to have you here. Talk a little bit about Spencer Devon Brewing, because we can still call you new.
Sure. Well, April 24th we opened, and we opened with the intent of having a good class of brewery downtown and something good to offer the community, and then to ultimately start giving back to the community. And that's what we're trying to focus on here, is any way we can support the entire town, we will. And this is just a small little step that we're trying to do.
Talk about what that little step is going
to
be.
So we intended to have a mug club from the very beginning. It's a neat little concept where people can purchase a spot in the mug club and have their mug on the wall. It's greater than 16 ounces, the normal pour. But whenever they come in, they pay the normal pint price to fill their mug. And they get to look cool doing it because they're all handcrafted from Liberty Town, the art studio by Dee Dee. And it's just a cool opportunity for our customers. More importantly, we're taking the money that we make from those sales. We're going to give it to Manarc. And we're going to do 10% of the overall sales that night to Manarc as well. It's not a whole lot of money, but it's what we can do and what others could and should be doing to help the community and the greater good. So
you mentioned that night. What night will that be?
September 21st, right?
Yep.
I always forget dates and things. So yes, September 21st.
So this. The whole idea of a mug club it's a cool idea.
It is a cool idea. It's not mine. It happens all around the world.
Yeah.
But ours is going to be the best by far. We're getting Jillian Holland, who designed our wine rack behind our bar, is working with another artist, Hunter Perkins, who's a blacksmith, to extend the rails of our wine bar up. And then we're going to put a nice live edge shelf on top of that. So they'll literally be on display behind the bar, kind of giving another touch of class to the brewery.
Yeah.
And again, the fact that you get to hold it and drink your beer out of it, it's kind of a status symbol, if you will.
Exactly. You come in and you've got your own mug there.
That's
and
right.
it kind of shows your friends you belong.
That's right. That's right.
You've got a place.
Deborah, of course, everyone belongs at Spencer Deborah.
Well, of course. Yeah. That went without saying. Deborah, another example, though, of people wanting to partner with you and seeing what you do, that's got to make you feel good.
It does. I mean, you got to have fun while you do it. And like Sean said, it's, you know, it doesn't add up to a lot of money that night, but I think a dollar more than what you had is a lot of money.
So, no, definitely. Yeah. And it shows and it may give others the ideas of things that they can do to become part of what you're doing.
Right. I mean, it's truly part of the marketing and trying to brand Manark's name and also helping out Spencer Devon Brewery and the community. And we want everyone to be successful. And I think as a whole, as a community, we can be successful together.
You've got, as we've been talking about coming up on your year anniversary, you've got some things planned for August the 30th to kind of celebrate what you've been doing.
We do, and again, it's a celebration, but it's also a marketing day, again, to brand the name Manark. And we decided to do a Sunday because Saturday is really our anniversary, the 29th. But it's so busy, I wouldn't be able to have the opportunity to talk to customers like I'd like to be, you know, to do. So we decided August the 30th, Sundays between 12 and 5, and we're going to have a caterer deliver some trays of appetizers to give out to customers. I'm hoping my regulars show up along with some new ones, and we'll have live music, and we're going to offer 20% off to every customer that walks in the door that day. So we're hoping that they come in. We just have a large variety of things that, you know, people just can't live without. So we hope they come in.
What are some of the things? If I walk in the store, and when I walk in the store one of these days, what will be some of the things that I see that's you have at Manark?
Well, if you walk in today, you're going to see a beautiful walnut table, dining room table. That's $245. You can't beat it. There's tons of furniture in there. We received a clock from Frankfurt, Germany that was 1969. That's a beautiful piece. It comes in three pieces. There's great clothing. Sometimes people bring me clothes with tags on them. The clothes aren't clean. I personally, as a CEO, wash those clothes. You're going to see glassware, dishes. You're going to see china that's never been touched. Jewelry. We have a Swiss Army watch that was just dropped off. We have Celtic rings that are brand new. We just have a variety of things for everyone.
Describe where you're at, because you're over on it's William Street, right?
Yep, we're at 107 William Street. Our neighbors are downtown Nail's Salon and Kickshaw's Grocery. We're across from Bike Works. We're right behind River Run Antiques. It's a great location. We have great walking traffic, and we're really pleased to be part of that neighborhood.
Just before you get to, when you're going out of town, just before you get to the Chatham Bridge.
I tell you, I sit out there every day at between four and 6 o'clock, and I watch all that rush hour traffic, and I talk to so many people in their cars.
Oh, I guess so, because you're
they're just sitting there waiting for the light to turn.
I thought you were going to say to me, I sit there and I look at that traffic and I'm thinking, I'm glad I'm not a commuter right now.
No, they have their windows down sometimes and I tell them to come on in.
You mentioned a few minutes ago about how this day you want to, on your anniversary on the 30th, that you want to be able to spend some time and talk to people. And that's really what you're about with a lot of this. It's not, you've got things to sell and you want to do that because you want to make money and you want to be able to provide and help some of these veterans. But you're really a person who does want to talk to people.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I used to be a director for a healthcare company for years and, you know, spent a lot of time with my clients and my 300 caregivers. So I'm used to talking a lot. But when customers come in that door, they need to understand their purpose. They really do, and our mission of why I've left a corporate position and not drawing that big salary anymore. And, you know, it is truly a passion. It's a calling of the heart to do something like this. And I think it's important to get that message out. And, of course, we want to sell things because we're not able to help organizations mm-hmm. like the Semper Fi Fund and the Veterans Moving Forward, the two main organizations that we've partnered with. If I don't sell things. So I've got to convince these customers every time they come in the door to buy something or to donate or to volunteer their time. So yeah, it's very critical for me as the CEO that they know that I am in that store every day working very hard to make a difference in a veteran's life.
It's a long day sometimes for you, I know.
It is a long day, but it's at the end of the day, you know you've made a difference.
So people can't, you're still looking for people to drop things off and make donations?
Absolutely. Yeah, we constantly need donations. We're getting an average of almost 20 donations per week. Yesterday we received 2 truckloads, and it was all furniture, and it's all great. So that shows that we're constantly moving product in and out.
Where do you put all that stuff?
You know what? Every time someone drops something off, they always say, where are you going to put it? I always manage away. So it's a lot of moving around. That's why I need especially male volunteers because, you know, moving furniture all day long really does hurt your back.
So. Yes, it does. Deborah Franks with the CEO of Manarch, Born the Battle, the thrift store on William Street with us this morning. Talk about volunteers and what people can do and what you're looking for. I guess you're looking for everything.
I'm looking for everything. You know, it's not necessarily the weekends, you know, because we're open 7 days a week. I ask that people at least give 3 hours of their time when they come in because it's just not doable to do less than 3 hours.
Yeah.
But, you know, whatever they can give would be appreciated. We do have a calendar now where, you know, some college students have been coming in before college, and then now some of them are coming back 1 day a week, which is great. But it's unpacking the merchandise. It's cleaning everything. Organizing, straightening, and talking to customers. You know, you have to know the mission. You got to know the 30-second spiel and be able to communicate with people.
When I have been by there and driven by there, and I always glance over there and think of you, even though I haven't actually been in the – haven't been able
– But you will be.
I will be in the store one of these days. Of course I will. But there are a lot of veterans who hang around who not only – they're helping you, but I know that they – they stay around, and you have a real mission just befriending them.
I do. Nora Sissel is the president of Veterans on Board. They're not a nonprofit yet, so we haven't really partnered with them yet. But he's a huge asset to my store. He runs the peer support group at the VFW Post. I'm the executive director on his board. I manage their money for them and helping them get their nonprofit status. But Norris picks up furniture for me, and he goes and finds these homeless veterans, and, you know, we pay them to go pick up furniture. I pay them to work in the store if I need big things moved. I feed and clothe them if they need it. Again, just Norris is just a huge asset. He's a Vietnam vet, a Marine, and he loves what we're doing, and I'm fully going to support him. And if he brings me these veterans in the store, we're going to help them get the help that they need through Quinn Rivers or through Micah Ministries. Whatever we can do, again, it's a community that has to do this.
Well, and when you first did, and you've been coming in over the few months, it's surprising the number of homeless veterans that we have around here. In some ways they're kind of invisible to a lot of us, but not to you.
No, they kind of drift in because they think that I'm something different than what I am. They think that I'm able to just cut them a check in order to help them with their housing or their electric bill, things like that, and that's not what we do. But we can help them with the resources that they need in order to get them the help. But it's, you know, when some of these other organizations say that there's only 14 veterans out of the 300 that they handle, that's only 14 that have walked in their door and registered. So they don't have a real handle of how many homeless veterans are actually there. A lot of them don't want to be documented, you know, again, because they have enormous issues. It could be alcohol, drugs, whatever the issue is. They don't want you to track them. And some want the help and some don't. We're not going to be able to be successful 100%. We hope so, but I don't think that's a reality.
Yeah. Where are some of these veterans, these homeless veterans living? Are they outside of during the night?
They are outside during the night, yeah. Some of them do get bused to the cold shelter in the winter in King George, but most of them are down at Tent City. Some float in and out of Micah Ministries to get a shower and a bag lunch, but a great many of them are outside.
And the sad thing is a lot of the problems that they're dealing with are a result of things that happened to them when they were serving.
Well, when they were serving and also when they were brought home, again, it's a huge gap in that transition into civilian life, and we've got to figure out a way to fix that.
Deborah Franks, the CEO of Manarch, Born the Battle here, the thrift store down on William Street. Sean Phillips here with Spencer Devin Bruin. When we come back, we'll talk again with Sean about what he has planned for next month, and talk to Deborah just about some of her reflections on the first year as we wrap this up this morning. More on Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Welcome back to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. You can weigh in on today's Town Talk topic on Facebook at WFVA 1230. Now, here's the host of Town Talk, Ted Schubel.
Manarch Born the Battle is coming up on a year anniversary, the thrift store down on William Street that does so much to help veterans. Deborah Franks, the CEO here this morning, along with Sean Phillips with Spencer Devin Brewing. Sean, you've been... You've got a military background, so this means a little bit more to you, too.
That's correct. I mean, businesses and people that want to help organizations, they can't help everyone. Spencer Devin Brewing has taken it upon themselves to focus their charitable acts, if you will, to veterans, because I'm a 24-year vet from the Marine Corps, and basically community-oriented organizations that help individuals in the community that may need it. That's a personal choice that I've made because I think that those two types of organizations are relevant. And I reached out to Manarch because they do a lot of the legwork that some of the other organizations that help veterans can't or don't do themselves because they don't want to focus money on administrative costs. They want to focus their money on the people that need it. And she does a lot to promote herself and help gather money for these other organizations. So it was just a good natural fit, I think.
And I guess with your background in knowing people, you've obviously run into people and know people, veterans, who need help.
For sure.
She offers.
I was very fortunate not to be in that category. One of my older brothers is in that category. Mm-hmm. And obviously lots of my friends are benefactors of the hard work that these people kind of do. So
Deborah, in the year that you've done this, has it gone how you envisioned it?
Actually, it's done better than I envisioned it. When I quit my corporate position in May of 2014, I think I told you the last time this store opened up way quicker than I thought I was ready. But it took off. The community has embraced it. The organizations have embraced it, and my family's embraced it, and friends, and it really has done better than expected. Very proud of it.
Kind of a change too. Your life has kind of changed in the past year.
Oh yeah, yeah. No more suits and 4-inch heels. That's been a change. Not that I didn't care for my job and care for what I did before. I think it is a calling to make a change in your life and know that there's something else out there that you need to do to help others. And I just felt like I was on a treadmill and I needed to get off of it. And this was a great way to do that. And, Fredericksburg's my hometown.
You've got an event again on the 30th, and we talked about it. There's going to be some special music also.
There is
at that event.
There's going to be live music. I think we're probably going to have it inside, depending on the amount of traffic and the people coming down the street. We don't want to block the sidewalk for any people that are having issues with wheelchairs and things like that. But it's going to be a great day, August 30th, between 12 and 5.
Again, that is at Manarch's office right there on William Street. The store is right there, mm-hmm. Right before you get to the Chatham Bridge. Myandy Peterson is your public relations coordinator. And Myandy, you've been working and seeing all of this that Deborah's been doing for the past year.
Yes, and good morning.
Hi.
Hi. Deborah had approached me, I want to say about 9 months ago. ago. She needed some help with her marketing, and I actually started my business about a year ago, Peterson Randall Public Relations, and my platform is to help local businesses increase visibility through charitable opportunities. So my job for Deborah and my focus is to partner her with other businesses, organizations, to come together as a community through different events and to help raise money for these local veterans. So I've been able to help her with several different events. In the past, we've partnered with Hard Times and some of their events. And so my goal and focus is just to continue to help her partner with other organizations and the community so that we can go ahead and raise money for these veterans and local veterans organizations.
Sean, before we get out of here, you again to talk about what you're going to be doing on September 21st for Manarch.
So September 21st, we're going to start our mug club. There's only 30 mugs available, so you need to take your opportunity on that day to come down and get a raffle ticket. We'll give anyone that wants one a ticket. We'll draw, and whoever is lucky enough to be drawn will be able to buy a mug and a spot in our club. It's the September 21st. We're going to have some cool live music, and 10% of my sales that night will go to Manarch as well.
Again, so that is coming up. And again, Spencer Devin Brewing is located where on George Street?
106 right? George Street, correct.
And Manarch is at 107 William Street. Last word for you, Deborah. Happy almost anniversary. And again, August 30th, 20% off, and lots of events from 12 to 5 at Manarch.
That is correct.
Thank you all for coming in. Thanks for all for what you're doing, and we'll stay in touch and talk again.
Great. Thanks, Ted.
Thank you.
That is it for Town Talk. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow on News Talk 1230 WFVA.
Thanks for listening to Town Talk on News Talk 1230 WFVA. The views expressed by the host and guests on this program are their own and not necessarily those of this station, its management, or Centennial Broadcasting. The Glenn Beck Program is next on News Talk 1230 WFVA.